bit started. This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Sean Kathleen Dubin. Sean is in Berkeley, California, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, so we're conducting this interview over the telephone. Today's date is January 13th, 2009. It is now 12:10 in the afternoon. And Sean, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this interview with me. Please tell me about your quilt, Obama Red and Blue States Merging into Glorious Purple.
Well, I started out thinking I was a Hillary supporter. I met all the demographics. I was really looking forward to seeing a woman as president. And a friend said, come with us, do you want to see Obama speak? And so I ran off to San Francisco, and the first time I heard him speak, I was just, it was Women for Obama. And he sort of greeted all these women on the stage who were from all different nationalities and groups, because this is San Francisco, Bay Area. But he seemed like really appropriate in the way he greeted everyone. And the immediate thing that hit me was, there's hope. I mean, I had gotten pretty jaded thinking that politics was just this, you know, ongoing, phony, not very wonderful thing. And I really got inspired. And I thought, well, what was something I could do? And quilting is something I love. I've used it in my work. I was a creative arts therapist and a mental health inpatient psych units mostly. And I use quilting a lot with my patients. And I thought I really wanted to express how I felt about this. And I felt the thing that excited me the most about him is that he wasn't excluding, he was inclusive, he was kind of saying we can work on this together. We don't have to just, like, be on this side or that side and not work together. And I have this personal great joy in the color purple. I really, really like it. So I had this idea I would start out with some blue and some red, and it would sort of come together in glorious purple, which to me is about as wonderful as it gets. And so I just started working on it with favorite fabrics I've been saving for a long time. And I went to my friend Eleanor Dugan, and I do a lot of things with her. I bounce things off of her. And she came up with the idea for doing the Andy Warhol kind of thing with the pictures. And then it had a little African fabric I put in there, and I had a measuring tape because I felt he would be measured. And then I sort of had already exhibited the quilt. This was like pretty early in the game. And at that point, the contest seemed to be between Hillary Rodham Clinton and Obama. And when I finished the quilt to a certain point, and I started to work on the campaign. And he was speaking again in the city, and they said, oh, you can come and see him. And because I was a volunteer, I should have been able to get in, but I couldn't. And I spent like, you know, a couple of hours going around the block and lines and waiting to see him. And it was a kind of a warm, exciting night. And everybody, there were all these different kinds of people in the line, and everybody was talking, and nobody was particularly upset that we had to wait for 3 hours. And all of a sudden, this just energy sort of went through the crowd, and Obama hopped out of a car because he was late and went up and down the line and, you know, saying that you more all get in and I'm sorry, you know, that kind of stuff. But it was just very thrilling. And I remember being in 1963 in a Peace Corps training program in Washington, D.C. and hearing, like, the Martin Luther King speech, I Have a Dream, and it kind of felt like that. I remember at that point looking as far as I could see were people, and it seemed like, oh, we've solved the racial problem. Of course, that didn't happen. But, you know, this was just that everybody seemed so excited about it. And then I went back and worked on my quilt with renewed energy. And they can't, something came out on moveon.org where they said, we want 30-minute commercials. And I had this quilt, and I had just taken a few classes in for voiceovers, to do voiceovers. So I grabbed a couple of people from my class, and I decided to make one of the contest using my quilt. And I got a group of people, Hispanic and older, and some people, one English woman. And it was perfectly kind of the middle class. Hillary's, people that would support Hillary. And it was her demographic, you know. But we were working on this quilt, and then we flipped up the quilt at the very end, and we were rushing off to support Obama. And I thought the incongruity of people that looked like they would be totally voting for Hillary then switched to the Obama thing. But what happened with the contest, I think it might have even had a chance at that point, but they extended the time people could enter the contest. And by that time, it wasn't Hillary versus Obama anymore. It had gotten to be McCain versus Obama. And so, you know, that shot was kind of blown out. Plus, the guy that did the tech stuff evidently didn't submit the commercial appropriately, so it got shot back. And so nothing happened with that. But the quilt itself, I showed at my local, we have a big show here, East Bay Heritage Quilters, and they have one in the Oakland Convention Center, and I showed it there, and people kept coming up, yeah, we really want him to win, and people that just seemed to think that suddenly I was like this leader for the Obama thing, and I was passing out buttons and going to meetings and going, you know, even to the next state to try to get people in Nevada to vote for Obama. And the quilt was sort of point that got people's interest. Like I exhibited at the Sierra Solos, which is part of the Sierra Club, that we had this art and garden party, and people there got interested in supporting Obama from the quilt, and I got people to help with the campaign. And then across from me, I went one day to get a yard sign for somebody in the town I used to live in, Castro Valley, because they couldn't get any Obama yard signs. So I went in, and I couldn't find them at the Berkeley one. And so I went, so they said, go across the street, there's this black bookstore, and they may have something over there. So I went over there, and it was this wonderful kind of cultural center. It looked a lot like there was a movie with Whoopi Goldberg and Ted Danson about this woman in Berkeley who had this very ethnic, politically correct black bookstore. Well, this place is kind of like that. They've got a place in the back for kids and all these sort of wonderful books about black history. So I got to talking to the lady there that ran it, and I told her about my quilt, and she said, well, bring it in. So I hung it up there. But this time I added some stuff to the quilt. Like I had this little vest I was going to give my grandson that was purple. But I was thinking, this guy, when he hits the ground, if he wins, is going to have such an incredible job. You know, he'll hardly have, he'll need to take off his jacket and be down to his shirt sleeves and vest working on stuff, because the problems we have are so immense. But it wasn't like they were so immense they couldn't be solved. I had this feeling. So to me, the thing about the quilt is it was just sort of this catalyst to get other people on the bandwagon, and it was fun for me to make, and it was all my favorite magical colors. And then it had like There were some little boxing gloves because I thought, well, he's got to fight to do this. I mean, you don't get to be president without kind of getting down there and really, really competing. And so I had that, and I had little gears on it, and a money thing, because money is got towards the end to be a really big issue. And I kept just adding little things I had around that spoke to me about the bigger issues that we were dealing with. And then, there was a Democratic convention, and my stepfather lives near Denver, and I decided to go visit him because he's 90 now, and I need to kind of check in. And I went there, and I bragged my quilt, and I kind of took it around because I heard there was going to be an art show there, but I couldn't find it. But then I got on some U2 thing with the quilt, and my main thing that I said on that was, you know, I think anything would be better than our current administration, which was kind of the way I feel. And I got a lot of, you know, people interested in talking about it, and I felt like such a positive energy there. And it seemed like everybody, all kinds of people, were being really supportive of Obama. And when I went to get the quilt out of the black bookstore to send to this thing in Silver Spring, Maryland, the show there, there were all these people going, oh, no, don't take it away. It needs to live here. And that was kind of nice for my ego. I have spent most of my life working in big mental hospitals, trying to help the quality of life of the chronically mentally ill, which is really, that's a huge problem. They are marginalized, and we don't always know the answers, and I think their dignity is constantly compromised, and I felt that through the use of creative projects and art that we could, you know, really improve the quality of the life of, you know, the chronic schizophrenics, which were mostly the people I worked with, some mood disorders and other things, but people who had been severely impacted by mental illness. And for me, art is something. I mean, every day I get dressed and I kind of reflect how I'm feeling that day. And I really love art. My mom was an artist. I married an artist. But I myself sort of more kind of a workhorse drone. But I got to do creative things. I got to decorate the hospital. I got to decorate for parties and seasonal things. I got to help people putting out stuff so they could have accidental art experiences that would be nice. I did a bunch of things around memorial services for some of the patients and some of the street people in San Francisco, where we do, you know, I'd start a big, on a quilt stand, I'd have a large black thing I'd start with, and then I'd have people who knew the person put things on it, and I'd help, you know, finish it, and then we'd have like a service, because for some of these people, the institutions were their family. They didn't have homes, and they didn't have home churches, and they didn't have, if we hadn't done a memorial, there wouldn't have been a memorial. So even things like this one guy was just so incredibly handsome, and I think he ended up jumping off the bridge or something. He had all these delusions, and, you know, there were things on his quilt about his delusions, which were really, and his prophecies. So we'd find them behind clocks and in weird places around the hospital, and we gathered a lot of the prophecies and put some of those on the quilt. And this quilt, to me, it just struck me. I don't know why. This is a cool thing to do. Go for it. And I just kind of dove in and did it quickly and added more things, and it's not perfect. One person was thinking about buying it, but he said, well, it's a little sloppy here. I see glue, you know, and I thought, well, yeah, but I'm not changing that because it just was such a spontaneous thing. And I got a picture that didn't have everything on it that I made cards with, and I'm sending them out for holiday cards, and I just have had a lot of really positive experiences, and I feel, I guess the main thing that struck me was there's hope. This is someone who can unify everybody and get us all working to solve some problems and not the divisive kind of thing. And I don't hear him putting down other people. And then when I was traveling a little bit, actually when the election occurred, I was in Oaxaca, Mexico for the Day of the Dead. And everybody there was cheering for Obama. And you'd look in the newspapers and the Mexican newspapers, and they were, you know, talking about his family on both sides and showing him as a school child, kind of in with lots of different races, other classmates, and they seemed so excited about this possibility. My daughter was living in Holland at the time because her husband's Dutch, and, you know, they didn't seem to have too much respect, from what I hear, for my son-in-law, who's getting his PhD in black history, doing the Dutch part of the slave trade. But he is really into politics, too, and I would talk, and he would say, oh, the people over here think, you know, don't think very highly of your current administration, and many jokes. But when I sent him, after the first time I saw Obama, I bought a baseball hat and some Obama paraphernalia and sent it. And he was so proud, and he was, like, showing it all around him in Holland. And my English friend said when she goes back yearly to visit her parents, she'd been kind of embarrassed about, you know, they would say, what's with your government? And for the first time, she felt she could hold her head high, that this was going to be a change, a hopeful one, something good was going to happen. It wasn't going to be the old, same old, same old. And I put at the bottom of my quilt, which probably nobody but me will understand, because when I was little, I was around a lot of horses. I was sort of raised in Virginia and you know, would shovel muck out behind famous people's horses. And I'd see, you know, the bed of roses for the horses, and I thought, and the ribbons, and I thought that the bottom was sort of my hopeful thing, that there would be this coming together of the red and the blue into this sort of purple, joyous cloud of, like, bed of roses or something, that would, what I was hoping that he would win. And it was like one of the times, I often get on these tangents, but this one worked out. I mean, you know, I remember first going to, like, Nevada, and people would say, oh, he's a Muslim, you know, we wouldn't vote for him. And yeah, I spent some time in the Middle East, and I was able to say, well, I don't think that's actually true. And I was able, I think, on many occasions to change people's minds. And it just felt like such a win-win situation that I so enjoyed, and sort of the trademark of it all has been this quilt to me. And
so so what's your plan for the quilt?
My plan? Well, there's this show that all these people started, that someone told me about, that I'm trying to send off. It's there today. But after that, I have no idea.
So you're not going to return it to the bookstore?
I could. That's a possibility. if it would sell, that would be cool, and then the money could go towards some good cause or something. I used to collect because in my work, there was never any budget for art supplies. So I've collected all the salvage material, and I do a lot of junk sculpture and things out of, you know, recyclable stuff. And so my studio here is full of a lot of materials that I said, oh, now I'll have time to play with, because usually I was like throwing out this stuff for the patients to play with, because if it was salvage stuff, they could have all they wanted, as opposed to they're always being, well, here's one piece of paper, you know. Well, how spontaneous can you be with one piece of paper? It's better if you have a bunch of stuff to pick from. So I have a bunch of stuff, and it's not like I need more stuff. But I'm sort of playing with the idea. Do I keep it because it's really nice, and it has good memories around it, or toss it back? I don't know yet, but that certainly is something I'm considering.
Tell me about your interest in quilt making. How did you come to quilt making?
Actually, my friend Eleanor Dugan dragged me to this quilt meeting things, and I thought, oh, this is going to be like so old lady, so uninteresting. And I really got interested. And I also am head of a nonprofit stilt walking performance group. And at the time, I had just sort of joined this group, and I was in the people that had just started. So we weren't that good, and the leader hadn't really choreographed anything for our group, and I think we were kind of the throwaway group. And I decided that it would be really neat if we all carried quilts. And so my friend Eleanor and I made these quilts to do this performance piece called Quilts on Stilts. So it was this factory, that was a spree, I guess, had thrown out all this material. And I found in the secondhand store, so I had like bolts and bolts of it. So we made quilts that looked very different, but they were really out of the same material but different patterns. And the stilt walkers, one on each side, were sort of dancing around making different patterns with these quilts. So I saw it as something to use as a prop. And then I realized that it was really helpful at work. Like Thanksgiving, we have it in the gym, which wasn't, you know, too cozy. But I would borrow tons of quilts and put quilts all around the gym. And then I figured out there was the AIDS quilt thing. So I'd get some of those and sort of make the gymnasium look really cozy and nice with all these quilts. And we did like a baby naming thing for one of the stilters, and we did a marriage and a funeral using the quilts as something that would redefine the outdoor space. And for some funerals, I would put the quilts up so that we could have the service outdoors or under the freeway or wherever, and it would sort of say, this is a special place, you know, it had added a sort of sacred thing to it. And then I just started realizing that if I wanted to do a mobile, I'd get all the patients to do something and put it together. And that was like the quilt thing, so I'd give everybody, you know, working on a square, and then we'd talk about how to put it together. And in one senior kind of convalescent situation, one lady's square was better than everybody else's, but she was so cranky, nobody liked her. And so they put her, you know, we'd all decide where the squares went, so they decided they put hers off in a corner. And it just seemed like it was useful diagnostically and to build community. And then I worked on this thing with my friend Eleanor, she got it from somebody else, but it was called the Ugly Quilt Project, and we made these sleeping bags for the homeless. and you know, put soap and stuff like that in there, and they were big enough to cover the women's hair because women on the street get raped an awful lot. And we didn't want them to look too saleable, so they were just from scraps that people gave us. And then I got my patients working on these same sleeping bags, which is really good because they like to be able to do philanthropy too. It's kind of a... And even, I remember one patient that was about to die, and we know she had only 2 weeks, so I gave her a quilt for her bed, and I thought, well, this is kind of shallow of me. I thought, oh, I'll get it back. But she, when she died, I went up to get it, and they said, well, she said it was part of her estate, and she gave it to her one friend. It was like... and then another friend I had who'd done incredible things about to working on AIDS research, and she was actually a transgender person, and she was dying of cancer, and, you know, I gave her a quilt because she wasn't really into, like, special stuff, but she would, you know, hold on to that before she died. So it just seems like it kept having, it helped me. Like when now I'm retired and I feel like, oh, I'll finally have time to do some art and work on politics and things like that. And quilting is kind of, it comes back. Like today I can go to this drop-in thing in a church nearby, and I live alone, so I'll be able to meet with other women working on stuff, and it provides a kind of armature for building my life around. And, you know, we have exhibits in the county buildings and, you know, local stuff, so I get to do that. And then I make costumes for the stilters, and because the stilters, when I'm on stilts, I'm like 10 feet tall, so I have like this giant kimono thing that I have quilted, and a lot of my costumes are actually kind of quilted. So it seems to seep into all parts of my life. If you ever need, like, a gift for somebody getting married or a birthday or something, quilts or babies being born, there's always something you can do that's very special and very unique. And I like all the people that I quilt with. And at first I thought, oh, they're all married and they have more money and, you know, they won't like me. But actually, they're really nice, and they've totally accepted me, and it's just been a really nurturing part of my life.
Describe your studio.
It's in an old mattress factory, and I'm in it right now, and there's a bank of, like, those industrial windows on both sides of me, and that I'm in a sort of loft area where my bed is. And then, there's a wonderful bathroom that somebody did as an architectural master's degree project. So this is tub that's up on a throne. And as I look out, I see, and there's brick in it. And it's kind of open and airy. And I've got it just filled with art parts, which I haven't quite organized, so it doesn't look like a proper house, but I'm really having fun in it. And I needed a space to put all the things that I had used in my work, and I thought, oh, well, I'd let other people do all their variations on the theme with this, so I'll try it. And as I look around here, I see, well, there's a giant fish that I wear when I'm stilting. We were in the 4th of July parade in Alameda and for this market, and we were mostly fruit, but there's a fish market there too, so they wanted the fish. They have a fish hanging from the ceiling that's like, I don't know, 15 feet long and 4 feet wide or something like that. And then there's some merry-go-round horses and parts of a boat. At one point, my significant other and I were building a boat to sail around the world, and part of that is there. And there's paintings that I'm working on that I don't like now, but I feel like if I look at them long enough, the voices will tell me what to do next, and some kind of altar things. And in front of me is, I just opened this pillowcase where I had gone to a class, and they were really high-powered quilters there, and I was like the least of the group. And the Sandy Cummings was doing dyeing, and it was at her summer place in Tahoe. So I was just playing with the dye, and I drew this face on a pillowcase, and then it kind of leaked onto the other side, and then I had two faces, each on each side, and then I did a bunch of silk scarves, and then I was at home, and I got this phone call early in the morning saying that my daughter had she's a skydiver. She skydived about 600 times or something. But she just moved to Atlanta, Georgia to do an internship at CNN. And so she wanted to hook up with skydivers, so she went to rural Georgia, and there was this brand new company, and she was skydiving. They let her off last. Well, they missed the drop zone, and they usually say that they put the high voltage wires around the edge of the field. Well, this one, the farmer jerry-rigged it across the middle. So she fell on the middle of high voltage wires, and it went in her arm and through her body and exploded out her leg. And she kind of sizzled on the high voltage wires for a while and then fell, and the farmer wasn't there. And he was on vacation or something, and the hunters found her. And later on in their little church, was all praying for her, and they said an angel fell from the sky. She's really pretty. And then they said that she was in, you know, had been injured, and they were going to take her to try and get her. They couldn't find an airplane to airlift her to Atlanta, but they did take her by ambulance there. And they thought she died. They thought she'd have an amputated leg. They thought she'd be dragging her foot around. Now she's fine. But while she was in the hospital, I had grabbed this stuff. As I went through the house, I got the phone call, and I grabbed the garbage bag, and I just threw stuff in it I could use, and grabbed my dog and took it and left it to him with my friend Eleanor. And when I got there, the hospital rooms were pretty grim, you know. So I just put this tacky stuff up, and I put these scarves I painted, and I put the pillowcase on one of the pillows so she could see it. So there was like some sort of humanity in the sterile hospital setting. And it took her, you know, about a month to get out of the hospital. But she's okay now. But I remember that. So now I've got it, and I've opened it up, and I'm thinking, she did her master's thesis on the third effect, which has to do with two pictures together have a different effect than the pictures singularly. So I've got these two faces. I opened up the pillowcase, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's true. They're different together than they would be singularly. So I'm going to do a quilt or a series of quilts that has to do with the third effect, which I don't see anybody else doing. And then I thought, well, when you get old, you can't have any stuff. And which really worries me because I love my art parts. And I thought, but if we make quilts the size of bathroom doors, you'll almost always have a bathroom door. So make a bunch of quilts that size, and you could actually, you know, when your life got pared down to hardly anything, they could still hang a quilt on the bathroom door. So I'm trying to make bathroom door quilts. And then, well, of course, with the AIDS thing, when everybody was dying and we were all making quilts for the memorial services there, and the AIDS project was, you know, housed here in San Francisco, where I worked at San Francisco General. So I was making a lot of quilts with that, and they're actually the size of coffins. So I realized that was another size that would do well. So making coffin size and bathroom door size quilts. And the AIDS thing also, they would have fundraisers, like they, at one point, our guild contributed a bunch of quilts and the gay men's chorus sang and they had a big auction, and Women Walking Tall, my Still Walking Collective, carried all these quilts up and down to show off the quilts, and people bid on them, you know, for money for AIDS. So we've done a lot of things like that. Sometimes that quilt shows we have stilt walkers walking around carrying quilts and showing them off, or for show and tell or something, holding up the big long ones so you could see the whole thing, because often I am more interested in quilts as art than warmth, and I don't like it when I can't see the whole thing. But if, you know, you've got two people on stilts holding them, you can see the whole picture of the quilt, and I like that. I was hoping that at this one place we do a parade, that the local quilt, you know, mini group would do patriotic quilts that the stilt walkers could carry, but they never kind of got behind that one, because it seems like you see the same things in the parades, and, you know, we always try to do something a little different. Like, at one point we did, like, all nationalities, so I have a giant hoop skirt that's got the globe on it, and that was basically a bunch of people working together, putting it together like a quilt.
How do you want to be remembered?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I really like the concept of doing something special with stuff other people don't think of as special. So I guess as someone who could make something out of nothing. And I feel like it's not so important to be the prettiest or the richest or the most famous or anything, but to be fun to play with and enjoy the game would kind of be a life goal. And I think I really learned this from the retarded people, or what we're calling them, mentally challenged people, that I worked with at first when I first came here at Sonoma State Hospital. It was kind of like some of them had pretty good lives, and I just always feel like you can't control what happens to you, but you sure can make it better or worse. And that sort of thing of having been fun to play with and having enjoyed the game of life, which isn't always a fun game, but even when things aren't good, you know, you can do the best you can with what you've got.
Well, before we close, is there anything that you would like to share that we haven't touched upon?
I feel really good about the quilt. Not that I think it was better than other people's or more special or anything, but it just worked for me. And it's kind of like I felt my career, I felt I was able to do meaningful work and enjoy it at the same time and be able to be creative. And I feel positively about that. And I think a lot of people don't. And this quilt has just been fun. And it was mostly, you know, made out of scraps that I had and that had meaning to me. But that would be pretty much it.
Now, it's 49 by 49.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty good size quilt.
I just think it's big. So I think of it as small.
I'm speaking in comparison to the other quilts in the exhibit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So at least the ones I've
known about so far. So I think that's and you finished yours in 2007. So that's a lot earlier than most people. Too.
Yeah, mine was way ahead because when that quilt came out, one of my best friends said, "Oh, he'll never make it past North Carolina," and they said, "Oh, you're crazy," and like, Sean, you know what are you thinking? And of course, the snowball begins to roll. But I was way out there in front, yeah. And I right now I'm thinking, do I want to add any more stuff? And then I'm sort of not wanting to add more stuff because I feel like that was a big part of it, that happened way back there, you know.
Do you have plans?
Way back when it wasn't clear that Obama was going to really win, you know.
Do you have any plans to make another Obama quilt?
No. I mean, I can't follow patterns and stuff like that. I just sort of need to be inspired and go with the moment. And I know that people do that, but I don't usually do the same thing over again. So, no, not really. I mean, I guess if something moved me, I could see maybe making a quote about the problems in Gaza, or I was out marching for that Saturday, and I'm real torn feelings about that issue because it seems like it's so complicated. But, God, do we have to, like, kill each other like this? No, it's just not something I would do. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know, but that I wouldn't plan it. I heard that the other women were making lots of them.
There's quite a few people making series, Obama series. And since you talked about making a third effect series, I thought that's why I talked about that.
Well, because that would be taking something I already had and putting it with something else and looking at the this versus that or how do these two relate. It would almost be like relationship quilts. I mean, I find relationships really interesting.
I agree.
And I like portraits. But more Obama quotes? I don't know. Let's see what happens. I mean, I don't really want to drink the Kool-Aid here. You know, maybe this was all hype. I don't know. Feels pretty good right now, but I've been excited about things before that didn't pan out. I think it's kind of join the bandwagon and, you know, we've got all these kind of public service stuff, more stuff is available now, and, you know, maybe we can solve some of the local problems by just regular guys trying to help. But I'm not like a worshiper of Obama. It was the idea that he could unify people and that there was hope and that he was inclusive in saying, let's all work on this. I don't think he's Superman. And he's cute, but, you know, there are a lot of cute guys. I really know about that. But they're not the answer to a good life.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day today to share with me.
I do appreciate.
Oh no, you did great. I really appreciate it. So it is now 12:55.